Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast.
This is the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Joe DiRienzo, and I am a very happy podcast host today for a couple of reasons. The first of which is my guest today. Joining me on the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast is fellow Elon alumni, fellow WSOE radio alumni, Jake Stoder. Jake and I have hosted a bunch of stuff together in college. Jake, thank you for joining me. How's it going today?
Thank you, Joe. I am pumped to be here. Thank you for letting me keep the rust off a little bit. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got plenty to cover. We finally have spring training games to talk about. Specifically, one that made me very, very happy as a Mets fan, and that is where we are starting here in the news and notes section of this podcast. We had to wait 18 months, but we had a Harvey Day yesterday. It was two innings in the spring training game in early March, but I don't care. The Mets fan in me is pumped. He topped out at 99 miles an hour with his fastball, hovered in the 96 range, located breaking pitches, looked like he was Matt Harvey, to be perfectly honest, and that is a very, very good sign. His current ADP in fantasy baseball leagues is 66, the 20th pitcher off the board. Obviously, that is lowered because of the fact that people weren't sure about Tommy John surgery affecting his pitching. But, Jake, we've seen him on the mound for a very short period of time in a very insignificant game, but is his ADP too low?
Yeah, I think it is. Look, it's obviously a meaningless game against, but it is against one of the best offenses in baseball in the Detroit Tigers. He had that high 90s fastball you saw from him 2 years ago. He was painting the black. I mean, he was really, really picking his spots well and hitting them. And he even got a broken bat on one of those fastballs, which you don't tend to see because the guys were just so far behind on his pitches. And, you know, in terms of Tommy John, really wouldn't worry about it too much. Something around 85% of people who get Tommy John tend to come back and be themselves again. And Matt Harvey seems like he's able to do that. I wouldn't worry about him too much, and I think that his ADP will certainly rise. I think he'll probably be one of the top five pitchers off the board. He should be.
Yeah, I am fully aware of the pause that people had drafting Matt Harvey before seeing him on a mound again. We weren't sure we were going to see. There's reason enough to be cautious about him, but now we've seen it. We've seen how comfortable he looks. I'm not saying this is a cure-all. I'm not saying this is go out there and draft him first pitcher off the board better than Clayton Kershaw. And I am admitting that I'm talking through some blue and orange tinted glasses here. But you saw Matt Harvey yesterday. And to be able to see him in his first start looking like he didn't have any rust is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's awesome. You're allowed to look at this through blue and orange lenses a little bit, Joe. I think you deserve that as a Mets fan. I thought about you and Ryan yesterday as I was watching what was unfolding with Matt Harvey, and I'm happy for you guys. You have a good staff this year, and Matt Harvey is at the top of it.
Yeah, and he rediscovered a curveball that he had in college that he thought he didn't have anymore. He's just adding fuel to the fire here as a happy Mets fan, happy owner from him in the Fantasy Team Advice Writers League. So for all of that, I would just like to say one time.
Woo!
Actually, you know what? Let's go with two times. All right, I think I got out of my system now. We're going to move on here. Another injured pitcher coming off of a slightly different injury. Garrett Richards, Angels manager Mike Scioscia, announced he will not be ready for opening day, which we kind of already knew. He's likely starting his first game 2 or 3 weeks into the season. His current ADP is even lower. It's 139. On all composite sites, according to fantasypros.com. So now that we know his timetable, that should change a little bit, at least in my opinion. How high would you move him up based on the knowledge we now have?
I would probably move him up somewhere around where Harvey's sitting right now. I think I'm shocked by the lack of love for Garrett Richards right now. This is a guy that was a top 20 pitcher when he was healthy. He was healthy last year. He was a top 20 guy. He led the American League in home runs per nine with .27, which is ridiculous. I mean, this guy just gets people out. He gets people to swing and miss. He had a whip of 104 last year. And if for all you sabermetric nerds out there, he had a BABIP of 264, which isn't stellar, but it's good enough. And I'm shocked by the position he's at right now. But, I mean, he'll definitely move up.
Yeah, and just to add to that sabermetric nerdiness, his FIP, which is fielding independent pitching, was 2.6, which was right exactly where his ERA was. So it wasn't just luck. It was legitimate good pitching that got him the stats that he had. I'm with you. I don't get the lack of love for him. It is a leg injury, not an arm injury. He showed his dominance. He actually ended in the top 20 last year, even with that injury that he had. So he missed time and still ended up as a top 20 pitcher in value in fantasy baseball. I took the risk on him. So I'm willing.
Yeah, and I probably would too if the value is right. And I was actually at that game when he injured that knee.
Wow.
They were playing at Fenway, and it was, you could even tell from the seats how awful an injury it was. It's the same injury that you saw Victor Cruz suffer this year, in that Sunday night game, I think it was. It's just a painful injury to go through. And the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is that it's his plant leg, which, you know, as a former pitcher, I know, and I'm sure everybody else does too, that it's crucial to be able to put all your weight on that plant leg. So I don't think he'll come back until he's ready. But once he does, I don't see any reason why he won't be the same guy.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say they'll baby him. They'll get him to a point where he's comfortable, but then he's good to go. There shouldn't be any pause once he gets cleared to play again. Speaking of plant leg injuries, we have a new one to add to the list. Chris Sale fractured his foot getting out of his truck in spring training. And in his own words, the injury is essentially a sprained ankle. He'll be fine. They aren't going to have to cut it off. It's still here, which is just a terrific way of describing an injury for baseball players who people claim are not the toughest of the bunch. Chris Sale's ADP is going to drop. It's a guarantee. He's got an injury in spring training. He's missing his opening day start, but not much more than that. And people are going to get a little bit scared here, but should they really be scared?
No. This is a guy that's proven that he needs to be in the Cy Young conversation every single year. Foot injury doesn't change that. He's obviously downplaying it a little bit, calling it, you know, pretty much a sprained ankle when it's actually a broken foot. So that, you know, there is something to be concerned about there with that plant foot. Like I said, Chris Sale in particular puts a lot of stress on that plant foot because he has such a long stride.
Very unorthodox.
I think that he'll be fine. The only thing I'm still waiting for to happen is him to get Tommy John because he's got such an unorthodox motion and that arm, you know, that a lot of torque in that elbow. But he's been fine so far. So if that arm doesn't break down, he's going to be the same guy.
Yeah, I don't see an issue with this. He is the third guy in a row on this podcast that we're talking about with an injury that I own in the Fantasy Team Advice Writers League, which gives me a little bit pause for concern that we're just talking about my guys all being injured. But I think this is, once again, on the lower end of the worry spectrum. He downplayed it himself. It's a bizarre spring training injury story, more than anything, in my opinion. And I think his value is not – he's going to miss one or two starts. And in the grand scheme of things, one or two starts is pretty expected. If a pitcher's only going to miss one or two starts, then you're pretty happy with his full season.
And
he's
not
going to
have
caliber.
Yeah. Right. And he's not going to feel that pressure of having to carry the load so much this year for that team because of some of the moves that they made in the offseason, getting guys like Jeff Samardzija. So I think mentally, too, he'll be a little bit more relaxed this year in terms of not feeling like he has to go out there every single time and win the game by himself. And that's in addition to the fact that they got a couple of good hitters in their lineup, too, like Adam LaRoche. So I think overall for this year, for Chris Sale, it's going to be, you know, just another year at the office, essentially.
Yeah, that's a great point. The worry on his mind, it's less weight on him knowing that he's not alone out there. It's not him. And then, I don't know, John Danks next up in the starting rotation there. He's got more around him. We actually have some breaking news here, and it is of the injury variety on the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball podcast here. Rangers announced that Yu Darvish has a sprained UCL in his pitching arm. Obviously, he missed He ended his start short in his first spring training debut. Tommy John surgery is apparently a possibility. They're going to go through more tests, more examinations, but the fact that it's mentioned is reason enough for people who have already drafted him to be terrified. And if you haven't drafted yet, I would just not. Honestly, at this point, I would be terrified. The Tommy John surgery being thrown around is terrifying as a fantasy owner, and I personally would not make that risk. Jake, what about you?
Yeah, I'm not going to draft him for a couple reasons. One, because I think he at the end of the day, he will end up getting Tommy John surgery. He's got two more years left on that contract with Texas. It'll take him through the end of 2017. And for a guy that, by his standards, had, you know, somewhat of a down year last year, you know, by any other pitcher's standards, it's, you know, a pretty good year. But his WHIP was somewhere around 1.2 something, and as far as his standards go, that's kind of low. And I think that he'll talk it over with some people, and he'll be advised to take the year off and just get healthy. Because if you try to play through that injury after having, you know, somewhat, like I said, somewhat of a down year last year, and then you have two more years on the contract before you hit free agency again, I think you take your chances with sitting a year out and then coming back and playing two good years.
Yeah, and not only that, health has been an issue for him, because last year he had that back injury that plagued him, which might have played into him having a bit of a down year. Just as a Texas Rangers front office guy or a coach or anything, you want to get this guy healthy, because he's shown how amazing he can be when he is at full strength, and he's clearly not right now. So the fact that he could be sitting out the rest of the season or the entirety of the season is a legitimate possibility here.
Right. Yeah, no, and like I said, the other reason besides me thinking that he'll have Tommy John for not drafting him is just that if he does end up playing and playing through that injury, I can't see him being that same guy that we've seen in the past. I think that he'll struggle. Like you said, it is a guy that's been nagged by injuries in the past, and when he has been, he has struggled a little bit, so I'm holding off on drafting him for now.
Yeah, and we've got one more bit of news here before we move on to our hot or hype section of the show. And it's not a pitcher, and it's not an injury, so folks, be happy about that one. Dion Viciedo was released from the Chicago White Sox. He is the young Cuban prospect, hit 21 homers last year, but doesn't do a whole lot other than power for you. But after the Blue Jays lost Michael Saunders for at least the first month or so of the season, they had a need, so they signed Viciedo to a minor league contract. Looks like he's going to end up making the pro team and contributing early on. So late in the draft, you're looking for a little bit of power, Jake. Would you take a flyer on him now that he's got a chance of earning some at-bats?
I might, and I'm not, you know, probably not, but I might. And the only reason for that is that I think he might get some top DH for them. Their outfield, it's hard to say whether or not he'll be able to fit in there, just because the only real contribution that he can make to a team right now is with that power and that bat. And I think you can't count on Deonor Navarro to be your DH night in and night out. So
no.
I think Viciedo might get a look at DH, which if that's the case and he's playing on a nightly basis at that position, yeah, I might take a flyer on him. But at the same time, it's a guy whose favorite stat is OPS. And his OPS last year was .686. I mean, it's not good. And like I said, the only thing that he gets you are those homers. And if you're going to rely on a guy like that, you know, to add value to your team, it would have to be at a late round kind of thing.
Yeah. If you're desperate, he is a source of power. He showed that with his 21 homers last year, and he has an awesome power stroke. But it takes so long for him to load up and fire that those strikeouts happen a lot. He doesn't walk a lot, and like you said, he's not a great fielder, so he doesn't fit in like there. So the Blue Jays are going to use him, and he might get that DH time, but I wouldn't expect a ton out of Viciedo. He's a guy that I would take a risk on late if you are desperate for power, if you need that little extra boost. But other than that, he's not a guy I'm targeting by any.
Yeah, and 21 home runs last year, I could see that number going up a little bit just because he gets to play 81 games at Rogers, which, something about that place, balls just fly out of there. So I think you might see a little bit of an uptick in that home run number if he gets that consistent playing time. But other than that, I don't see much value.
Yeah, and he's not a guy that's getting talked about much regardless in this offseason. But we're going to move on here to a couple guys who are getting a lot more time in the spotlight, talking about their ability to make a difference in fantasy baseball this season. We're going to talk hot or hype. So we're going to decide whether each player is deserving of the talk they're getting around them, and it's hot, were hyped, and his ADP is inflated, and he's not going to live up to expectations. We're going to start here with a consensus first-round pick on those Chicago White Sox we just talked about, and it's another Cuban guy with a lot of power, Jose Abreu. Jake, hot or hype?
Oh, hot. So hot. Scorching hot, Joe. He's surrounded by a much more complete lineup this year with guys, like I mentioned before, Adam LaRoche getting signed. Another guy that flies under the radar and probably shouldn't, and it's because he was hurt, I think, all of last year, Avisaíl García. I think maybe the best piece to come out of that three-way trade between Boston, Detroit, and Chicago, and that whole PV, Jose Iglesias, and then he was that other guy in that trade. And I think the White Sox got the best value out of him because he can absolutely crush. And with guys like that around Jose Abreu, I think you'll see, you know, he's not going to get walked maybe as much as he did last year because there are guys around him that can mash also. And I think you'll see another awesome year from Jose Abreu.
I'm going hype. Our Jamie Colandro on Fantasy Team Advice has been widely outspoken about poking holes in Abreu's perceived value. The synopsis of the negative is this: his slugging percentage dropped 100 points after the All-Star break. His BABIP was massive. It was 356. You'd expect that to come down with luck coming back into play. And his bad strikeout-to-walk ratio, he has a higher-than-average swing and miss percentage. And it's because of something in his swing that's kind of like it's very hard to explain, but essentially it's a toe tap. So right before he swings every time, he taps his toe for timing. But that's really not good when you're trying to time a slider or a changeup that looks like a fastball. There's a fantastic article on Deadspin.com that explains the fact that he has to be exactly on his game in order for his timing and his swing to be perfect like it was last season. And I'm just not betting on that happening twice in a row. I'm betting on pitchers noticing that. If Deadspin.com can notice that, pitching coaches can as well. And I would expect his numbers to come down. I still think he's a top 20 pick. I have him outside my top 12, so I just don't see him as a first-round value.
Yeah, I don't know if I would pick him in the first round, just because there's so many guys. It's a very congested round, I guess, this year in terms of really guys who could bring a ton of value to your team. So I'm not sure I would necessarily slot him in the first round, but I would think early second round, mid-second round is when he'll get off the board.
Yeah, and there's another guy in the early second round that might be surprising a lot of people that we'll talk about here. Anthony Rendon, he's eligible at second base and third base, two very shallow positions. He's going around the beginning of the second round, middle of the second round there. So, Jake, hot or hype?
Yeah, hot. Again, a guy who hit .287 last year, 21 home runs. He's still only 24 years old, and he'll likely get most of his playing time at second base again, but even more so this year because third base is just kind of congested on that team right now. So to have that type of power and that type of production out of your second base position, it's rare. And, you know, Anthony Rendon is a guy that's only getting better right now. Like I said, 24 years old. And one of those guys who's really underrated and I think might, you know, have one of those coming out party years that we like to see.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I say hot all the way. He's a 2020 guy. He hit 40 doubles last year in his first full season in the majors. His average was just under .290, like you said. He'll get better. This was a good start for Anthony Rendon, and I think he has the chance to get the average to .300, add some of those doubles and turn them into home runs, be a 25-homer guy. And 2020 guys are rare as it is in this league when you can add the average to that. And not to mention, he's eligible at two shallow positions this year. There's nothing that you wouldn't love about having Anthony Rendon on your team. I'm going to get him as many times as I can this year. I love his value this season.
Yeah, I really couldn't agree more. Really not much else to say. I think he's going to have an awesome year.
All right, so let's talk about another Washington National, a lot different perspective on this one, though. His ADP is in the end of the second, beginning of the third, Bryce Harper at the age of 22. Jake, hot or hype?
I'm going to go hot and maybe like lukewarm a little bit. I think I might be a little bit of a Bryce Harper apologist sometimes. I just think that when he's healthy, when he's playing consistently, he's one of those guys that you can rely on night in and night out. And I think that last year, you know, you may have seen a dip in those stats because he was injured on and off. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, tends to strike out a little bit more than you'd like. But I think this year, Coming back, he said something in the offseason about, you know, almost guaranteeing that they would win the World Series this year. I think he believes it, and I think he's going to own that. And I think that he is going to make it his mission to be an integral part of that. So I think that he's going to have a nice year.
People forget, he's 22 years old. He just turned 22 years old. He's been in the league for 3 years, which is the confusing part, and people expected him to be this incredible thing. But we needed to be a little bit more patient on this one, I think. I think we just thrust him into the spotlight, and we were expecting a lot more than he was able to give right away as, oh, I don't know, a teenager. So I'm with you. I'm staying hot. I won't be the guy to bite on him in the middle of second, early second, but I'd strongly consider him beyond that. He actually hasn't played a full season yet in his 3 years, and Baseball Reference is this great thing. They have 162-game averages for guys like him who, if we get a chance to see him healthy, we're going to see a 270, 25 home run, 20 steal season from him. And that's pretty great. And that's just the expected amount while he's going in and out of the lineup being hurt. He's still just 21, 20, 19 years old in those seasons. So as he develops, as he gets better, and we've seen a motivated Bryce Harper this offseason, like you said, making those bold claims about making a World Series. So it sounds to me like a perfect storm. I think this is the year that his expectations are finally in line with what he's able to do, and he's a great value with the pick that you can get him at.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, it's hard to live up to the hype in general, but for a guy that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at age 16, and like you said, he's still only 22 years old. We know him for his bat. That's why he was so hyped up coming out. And I think you're just kind of waiting at this point for him to have that 30 home run year. And honestly, I think it might happen this year.
Yeah, there's a chance because people have finally lowered their expectations. So if he does that, everyone will be trying to clear some room to get on that bandwagon. And there's another guy that is in a similar situation to him, I think, for being too young for the hype that's surrounding him. Mookie Betts on your team, Jake, those Boston Red Sox, crowded outfield with him and Rusney Castillo and Shane Victorino and Hanley Ramirez. So Mookie Betts, hype or hot?
I'm going hype on this one, and that might surprise you a little bit. But the reason for that is just I'm not sure how consistent his playing time will be. You know, it's a crowded outfield to begin with, and then they go out and acquire Hanley Ramirez in the offseason, and now he's an infielder that's being converted to an outfielder, so he's clogging up the outfield. And John Farrell has made it clear that if Shane Victorino's healthy, he's got that right field spot. And to pay the kind of money they did for Rusney Castillo on a seven-year deal, you'd have to think that if he's anywhere close to what they hope that he will be, he'll be in that spot. And I just don't know if Betts will get enough playing time.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting situation to see when Castillo's leak injury, which kind of cleared space for Betts to at least start the season with a chance to prove himself. But I'm with you on this one. I say hype. He's got tools to become something. But I think, just like Bryce Harper, we need to be more patient. We're expecting this young guy to just become what he's eventually going to be. He's still extremely young, and I think that eventually he can reach the projections that people are hoping for. But I think just right now is not the time. And between that and the questionable playing time for the entirety of the season, I'm not going to be ending up with Mookie Betts on many of my teams. Now, Zips does have him going. Zips is another projection software that ESPN uses. They have him going 15 home runs, 30 steals, with almost 90 runs scored. If people are expecting that, I think they're going to be sorely disappointed.
I think that is a long shot, obviously. You know, the only way I see that maybe playing out is, like you said, Castillo's out with the injury right now. Betts has a chance to really prove himself. If he does and he ends up with that starting spot, I think he'll lead off because he's a logical choice at that spot. So if he leads off for that team and he has anywhere close to, you know, the kind of production that we saw out of him last year in those meaningless games, I think you could see somewhere close to what those projections are. But honestly, it's a long shot.
Yeah, and let's do one more young outfielder here. Jorge Soler, one of the a million prospects that the Chicago Cubs have. This guy can absolutely destroy the ball. He's going in the middle of the end of the draft, so Jorge Soler, hot or hype?
So hot. So hot.
On fire.
The guy can straight up mash. It's we saw a little bit of what he can do last year when he came up and played, you know, that second half of the season or however much it was. And the guy can just straight up crush the ball. And he's enormous, too. He's an absolutely massive
yeah.
human being. And he does have some speed. He's a, you know, he's a probably a four-tool kind of player. And I love it. I love what the Cubs have done this offseason, and I think he'll be right in the middle of that lineup.
He has some of the craziest minor league stats I think I've ever seen. I'm going to stick with Hot as well. He hasn't played a ton of games in the major league level or even in the professional baseball level, but he had an isolated power rating in AA of 427. Isolated power is slugging percentage minus batting average. People would take that as a slugging percentage and be happy. The guy had incredible statistics his entire way up, and that's why he kept getting promoted so quickly. And I think he kind of gets lost in the shuffle of the Cubs' prospects, but he deserves a ton more hype than he's even getting, because I think this guy can hit 25 homers even if he has an only okay season to his standards. He's got some incredible power.
Yeah, the Cubs right now are looking really good because they had a good offseason in terms of bringing in a guy like John Lester. Anthony Rizzo really came into his own last year. And then they have a couple of hot shot prospects. I mean, like some of the best prospects in baseball, like Soler and like Baez. And with guys like that, they're going to be a fun team to watch this year. I might get that MLB TV package just so I can watch the Cubs games, honestly, because they're going to be so much fun to watch this year.
Yeah, and they've even got Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber and guys that are going to be
Chris
called
Bryant
up
too,
at some
man.
Point during the season. It's just an incredible amount of talent that they have on that team, all ready to go soon, if not right now, to contribute to their pro team. So who knows? Maybe Back to the Future 2 was right, 2015. Could be their year. All right, we've
yeah,
got
absolutely.
One more here. Before we close out the show, one more quick hot or hype here. We'll throw a pitcher in. Carlos Carrasco for the Indians. I'm going to start us off here and say hot, as many times as I can possibly say hot. The guy had a 1.3 ERA and 80 strikeouts in his last 10 starts of the season last year. He did everything you could have wanted. He had sub-2 ERA from June on, whip below 1 for the whole season, and he's going in the 10th round. And I just don't understand it, because this could be an ace that you draft in the middle of the draft with no injury concerns or anything, and I'm all in on Carlos Carrasco.
Yeah, I like him too. Not as high on him as you are, but I do like what he did last year, and I think he'll have a good year this year. He's going to get more opportunities to be kind of that second guy behind Corey Kluber, who is also one of the best pitchers in baseball that nobody gives enough credit to. And I think that you slot Carrasco kind of right in behind Kluber. He could have some success there. And, you know, with the departure of, you know, maybe some of their other guys that have kind of stabilized that rotation. I know Masterson has been gone for a little bit, but now that he's, you know, Carrasco's kind of getting a couple full seasons under his belt, I think he could start to emerge.
Yeah, and I admit that I'm probably a little too high on him. But he's got the talent. He's got a chance to show it to everybody. And that 10th round price tag for me is just too perfect not to take for a guy that could end up being a top 15, top 20 pitcher. That is going to do it for us here today on the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast. Jake, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to have to get you back here at some point during the season. We actually have our buddy Ryan is coming on next week, so we're keeping the 14th inning stretch train going.
Good. Yeah, have me back as much as you want, man. I love doing this. You know I do. And it's good to stay in the game, you know, good to stay in the broadcast game. So I really enjoyed having you having me on today. Really appreciate it, and definitely want to come back.
Yeah, and we're going to keep this going every Saturday at 1 o'clock for the rest of the spring training season. We're going to move the podcast over to Sundays at night to make sure that we can get you ready for your following week. Slate in fantasy baseball during the regular season. But for Jake Soder, I am Joe Durienzo. Thank you all very much for listening to the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast.